You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
We have refilled the water glasses and are back for another hour of Armed American Radio. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, also known as the Ordinary Guy. Some people say there's nothing ordinary about me. I would like to take this opportunity to thank Sean on our boards for doing a bang-up job as we head into our second hour. The numbers, if you wish to participate on this evening's program, are 877-956-9566. That's 877-956-9566. Or you can reach out to us on the air at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Also, I have it on from a good source that we are being picked up and listened to live in Liberal, Kansas tonight on KSCB. Welcome to those listeners. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We hope you're enjoying or will enjoy the broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We think you'll enjoy it. If you missed last hour, we had some really informative stuff about from Rob Pincus and Mike Janich, the gentleman, the host from The Best Defense on the Outdoor Channel. Powerful stuff. Their series are just dynamite. I encourage everybody to check it out and get out there and take a listen to it and watch it. It's really good stuff and great information. These guys are the best at what they do. This hour, we have a really good show lined up, upcoming here in the next 60 minutes. We've got John Higgs, and I'm going to bring John in live right now. John Higgs is the author of the Bug Out book, and John is also my copy editor at Concealed Carry Magazine. And John and I have had an opportunity to sit down and have dinner together. We know each other well. And John, welcome to Armed American Radio. I hope last episode was a good lead into what we're going to talk about with you this evening. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm ready to go for a third hour, boss.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you just went to two. Maybe you will wind up going to three.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, I wanted to tell you, this is actually the first time that I've had a chance to listen to the show, but I just listened to the last hour with you and my two friends and colleagues, Mike and Rob. And it's a great show. I think you just got a lot of good stuff going on. And I did, if I may, just take an opportunity to just basically say hi to Samuel and our Marine and wish him the very best in his deployment. I think the backbone of a country is its armed forces. And we certainly have a very strong backbone, and it's very very important that we keep it that way.
That was a very powerful letter,
oh, yeah,
John, to get from him, and it meant a lot to me. I can't tell you. I would have to go back to the 8/16 broadcast, and I travel quite a bit, and I'm in and out of airports once in a while, a little bit more than the average Joe, as I've said on this broadcast before, and I fly in and out of the busiest airport in the world, Atlanta, and I have an opportunity to shake hands with these guys all the time as they're coming in or leaving out of that airport. And I got to tell you, man, it's inspiring. It's awe-inspiring to see somebody 19, 20, 21, 22 years old who is putting that weight on his shoulders for all of us and my kids. And it just means so much to talk to these people. And I've had some tremendous conversations with him. And I thank Samuel very much. I should probably read that email again in this hour, and I will in just a little bit. I've also got a couple issues that I want to talk about with when you and I are joined by Mossad, and that's the open carry issue out in Phoenix. I don't know if you were following that or not, but I really want to get the opinion of Mossad Ayoub on that, because I got hammered from both sides, which, hey, that's what this is all about. But, you listened to the whole program, is that correct, last hour?
Yeah.
Well, I hope we led into what I want to talk about with you tonight, okay? Because those guys, you appeared on the Best Defense TV, what, two or three times?
I think it's about two or three. I've seen, I think, about four episodes so far, something like that. We actually filmed a segment for each one of the episodes, and I didn't expect that they'd all be aired, so I'm not exactly sure how many they've shown so far. But my thing was when Michael Bain approached me with it was to come up with some short segments specifically about bugging out and preparation for that. And I think with the episodes that I've already seen of Best Defense Survival, it's all sort of meshed very well together. And then listening to Rob and Mike in the past hour, I was pleasantly surprised, but in a way I wasn't surprised, that we all think the same way, even though we haven't all sat down and talked about this subject in depth at length and sort of reached common consensus. I agree with everything that they were saying in the past hour. You know, one of the most important things, and Mike Janich put it so well, is just the will to survive. Because if you don't have that, it doesn't really matter how many guns you're taking with you, or you know how big your SUV is, or anything else. You know, that is the quintessential message with this whole thing. You've got to have that will to survive.
Yeah, if you don't have the will, you know, you're not going to go out and pick up a bug out bag to fill. And, you know, it's amazing, but there are people out there who just sit on their duffs, John. You know, I spent a lot of time down in hurricane areas down there, and it is mind-boggling to me that you've got people that just sit there, and at the last moment, my next-door neighbor's coming over saying, do you have any extra plywood?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times. Well, I can tell you. It happened to me 3 times. And, you know, I thought, Chris, for crying out loud, this isn't your first rodeo. Pick up some plywood, you know, something so basic. Which I guess my point is that people just, they don't want to think about it psychologically. So they put it out of their mind, and then all of a sudden, here's this thing churning out in the Gulf, this monster, and, you know, the line on TV is showing it coming right over their house. And, I mean, Charlie was supposed to come right over my house. So at that point, 4 of them before that, John, I bugged out. I literally bugged out, and yeah. I'll tell you what I had with me. You know, my kit at that point was a little bit of food, a little bit of water, and a shotgun, because I thought I was coming home to total devastation. And I didn't have that much time to, you know, we saw it coming. It looked like it wasn't going to hit us, and thank God it didn't. And I'm not wishing any ill will on any of the people down in Punta Gorda that it did hit. But, man, I got to tell you, the most important thing, I know this sounds crazy, was my shotgun at that point. And the reason was because I had gone through Hurricane Andrew's aftermath. I was down there about 8 weeks after that happened, and I saw the folks down there defending what was left of their homes. And that seemed, at that moment in time, to be the most important thing to take with me.
Yeah, probably a good choice, really. I think, you know, I have an IT background, so I tend to look at a lot of things in terms of hardware and software, you know, in a very generalized kind of way. And I think the mindset or the programming or whatever you want to call it, the attitude that you carry with you is the single most important thing. You know, you can lose a knife, you can run out of gas, whatever, but as long as what's between your ears is still working and you are still evaluating the situation and you're trying to look beyond the next 10 minutes or look beyond the next mile down the road or whatever happens to be, if you can basically, you know, we go back to Jeff Cooper's condition codes of, or color codes of awareness, you know, that if you're in condition white, you're basically asleep and you have no clue what's going on around you. If you're in yellow, then your radar is running 360 degrees and you're checking to see if there's anything coming up on the horizon. And, you know, especially with Best Defense Survival, which is a great show, but we've looked at all of the things to do with natural disasters, man-made disasters, that kind of thing. But once you get into that general mindset of being aware of your surroundings and trying to look a little bit ahead of, you know, what may be coming down the road and what kind of a plan should I be starting to put together before it even gets here, then, you know, you can carry that philosophy over into all kinds of different areas of your life. It could even be something as simple as, I have to be careful how I use my credit card here because there's a chance that I may get hit with some kind of credit card fraud or somebody may find the paper receipt or whatever it is, you know. And you can head off an awful lot of problems just by playing that little what-if game from time to time.
Well, isn't that really akin to just using your head, John, in most circumstances?
Well, you've just taken 3 seconds to say what I took 2 minutes to say, Mark.
Preparation, though, preparation is what everybody, you know, like I said, it's amazing to me having lived through some of this stuff. I mean, I've seen grocery stores empty in 2 hours. Gone.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, they don't come back for days. And you know, and most of the times, people wound up with a lot of extra food because the storm wasn't as bad as they predicted. But when we get back, we're going to talk with Masad Ayoub about some of this stuff and a couple other issues as well. We'll be right back with John Higgs and Masad Ayoub, everybody, right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heese. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's 3-Step Plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the 3-Step Plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you joining us this evening for the second hour of our broadcast on the second two-hour broadcast. So thanks for being there with us. We hope you're learning some stuff tonight. We've had a really pretty powerful lineup. I'm afraid 2 hours probably isn't going to be enough. But we are very privileged to have with us Mr. John Higgs, copy editor at Concealed Carry Magazine, and my copy editor at Concealed Carry Magazine, actually. And the godfather of self-defense, the man himself, Mr. Masad Ayoub, joins us on Armed American Radio. Masad, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Mark. How are you guys?
Doing great. Masad, were you able to catch a little bit about what John and I were talking about?
Just the very last minute or so. Your producer, Sean, filled me in. You were talking about preparedness issues and so forth.
Have you ever had to bug out?
I have not. Folks I know have been caught in that situation, and I've kind of learned from that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, John has written a piece here, The Street Smart Guide to Bugging Out and Staying Alive, How to Build a Bug-Out Bag, and a couple of those things. And, of course, the firearm, in my eyes, is a quintessential part of that, probably the most important part, depending on what it is. And, John, you made a comment when we talked over the weekend, and, you know, we tried to not touch on too much because we didn't want to lose our train of thought when we were on the air. But what was the statistic that you gave? You said 91%?
First of all, hi, Mass. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Hey, likewise, John.
Hey, thanks. The statistic I was just reading, I was doing a little research the other day, and I read that 91% of the people in this country live in an area that is prone to some kind of natural disaster.
Where's the other 8% or 9%?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Masad, any idea where those folks are living?
Boy, I'd like to know. There's tornadoes in the Midwest, hurricanes in Florida, volcanoes in Washington and Hawaii, earthquakes in California, and blizzards and nor'easters in the Northeast.
In fact, we just had, I think it was right around the Columbia, South Carolina area a week or two ago, there were some earthquakes felt over there as well.
It's kind of like defense. There's no place that's totally safe.
That's what an excellent point. And, where can you go today? And let's not just talk about natural disasters. Where can you go today and not have to look over your shoulder? Anywhere?
It's not where you go. It's what you take with you. The crisis can happen anywhere. You've got to have, number one, the resolution inside, and number two, the planning beforehand to deal with whatever crisis occurs. Welcome to the planet Earth, people.
Yeah, and it's getting worse and worse out there by the day. That's not supposed to be doom and gloom, but the fact of the matter is that, people, I don't know, Masad, we've talked about it on this show a couple times where you've got, millions of people buying guns for the first time. You know, people need to get trained. People are buying them for whatever reason they're sensing their need to have a firearm, whatever that reason may be. And you've got to be prepared. You've got to be prepared, and the firearm is just a tool that fits in that bag. John, how do you build a bug-out bag, my friend?
Well, that's a good question. I need to just raise one point. The Street Smart Guide to Bugging Out and Staying Alive is my book, but How to Build a Bug-Out Bag is actually written by Cody Alderson, and Cody is another member of the team at Delta Media, Concealed Carry Magazine.
Thank you for that correction. And Cody, hats off to you for that. Sorry about that. We were looking at the whole package here.
And you know, the interesting thing, just going back to the two books, I'd seen a little bit of Cody's book when we were both working on our separate books, but I hadn't seen the whole thing until yesterday. And again, it's another example of where similar ideas have come out of two completely separate projects, the way we were talking about in the first hour, or just after the break, with Mike and Rob, that a lot of the things that they were saying are things that, I've been putting in the book as well. So it's comforting, I think, when you get a lot of different people independently coming up with the same set of ideas, and I think Mass has a lot of the same kind of mindset as well. You know, it's not really where you are; it's what you take with you, and your mindset is probably the single most important thing that you take with you.
Mass, you travel a lot.
Oh yeah, you got me in the middle of a three week road trip.
And you're on a road trip again. In fact, the last two times you were on this program, you were in the middle of a road trip.
Welcome to my life. The Arabs are our nomadic people.
How do you prepare on the road? You know, with and John actually covers this and mentions it in a couple of his chapters in the book about, you know, obviously a professional athlete in a hotel room who has his bags with him doesn't have the same concerns that somebody lives in an apartment building next to the hotel does if they have to leave. Traveling, Massad, how do you prepare for that?
Well, obviously you can't take the food and the water and the MREs with you. Basically, I make sure I have a hell of a lot more cash money than I think I'm going to need, because when the grid goes down, the credit cards are going with it. I make sure that I always have a firearm and ammunition with me. We've just had the 8th anniversary of 9/11. I remember vividly that at that time, my wife and my oldest daughter were on vacation in Las Vegas when that occurred, and of course, in a matter of minutes, air travel in the United States was shut down and remained shut down for a matter of days. The people who were on the road at that time, like my wife and daughter, discovered that, you know what, we can't rent a car, because in the first hour, all the rent-a-cars have been taken out by the other travelers who got the word first. Hitchhiking, it's not going to be like Cormac McCarthy's novel On the Road, but you're not going to hitchhike from Las Vegas to, say, New Hampshire. Interestingly enough, my wife and I had a discussion. She'd been visiting my daughter in Texas, and they said, hey, we're going to take a couple of days up to Las Vegas. I said, fine, honey, be sure you carry a gun. He said, oh, for God's sake, we're just going to Las Vegas for 2 days. Yeah. So they find themselves totally stranded without a firearm. Thank God the grid was still working, and I was able to fax my wife a copy of her FFL, which allowed her to go into a Las Vegas gun shop, purchase the last two Smith & Wesson 38 Special Snubnoses that were in the shelves, because as soon as 9/11 hit, you remember the panic buy that occurred then that emptied the gun shops. And they had something to protect them. Within a matter of days, we were able to get them back home. But I've made a point ever since then to personally carry enough cash with me in a money belt that will not get lost in, you know, baggage claim if something goes down when the luggage is in the bowels of the airport, and have with me enough firearms and ammunition that would get me home on a long road trip if I had to travel by land instead of by air.
Well, you travel very similar to me. You know, I try to, except when I get to those, unfortunately it doesn't happen often, I have to get to a place like Chicago or, you know, and I've had to go through California and then go on to Texas. And, you know, they have different laws out there, so you got to pay attention to that. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around with us. You can tell we're getting ready to take a quick break. We'll be right back with author John Higgs and Massad Ayoub, the master of self-defense and the godfather of concealed carry, right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Ben Heath. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Mark Walters, and we're back with John Higgs and Masad Ayoub. John and Masad, are you with me?
Yep, I am. We're still here.
Okay, beautiful. You know, Masad, I want to jump on something here. I want to change the topic here for just 1 second. I got, I don't know if you heard the broadcast a couple weeks back, but I had mentioned about the firearms being carried in the open out in Phoenix at the event that Obama was speaking at. And I gave my opinion on the air, and I got hammered from both sides. I got a ton of email, And, you know, that's what happens
Welcome
when you're...
Welcome to my world.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And this is why I wanted to get this opinion from you. I've already made my opinion pretty clear. But, you know, you can't please everybody all the time, and that's not my intent. My intent was to give my opinion, and somebody can either learn from it or they can choose to do what they want to do. But most of, I got to be honest with you, most of the negative email came from the, I don't want to say far right, it came from the, you know, listen, we're not doing anything wrong, okay? And I got about one of them that I could read on the air, and I want you to hear this. And it said, Mark, this is my second comment on open carry. You are dead wrong about playing the PC game about not offending the antis by open carrying. We have been walking on eggshells around these people for 40 years, and we have gone from being limited on machine gun purchases to having every gun purchase approved by the FBI and having to fight for the very existence of our very right. Take a lesson from the gay rights movement. Out of the closet and into the streets. 40 years ago, being gay was a criminal offense. If a reporter said that someone was a homosexual, their employer was going to get sued, and they would wind up paying. Using the courts and polite non-offensive tactics did not work for them. After 30 years of "we're here, we're queer" gay rights parades, they are allowed to marry in some states. Obviously, the in-your-face, we are not changing approach worked. By trying not to offend, not scare the old ladies, we are playing into the anti's agenda. The more effective approach is not to be apologetic about exercising your civil rights. The proper approach is, I'm armed, I'm staying armed, anyone who objects can KMA, and you can fill in the KMA with whatever you choose. Now, that came from Thomas Bogan, and I corresponded back with Thomas a couple times, and we're all on the same team here. We realize that. Can you give me your thoughts on that? And then I want to read you the other side.
Yeah, well, I've got to respectfully disagree with Thomas on that. First, I am not an opponent of open carry. Okay, in fact, last night here in Connecticut, where it is legal, I was open carrying just for the hell of it. I do it every now and then in the jurisdictions where it's allowed, just to kind of gauge what the political winds are. And as usual, nobody noticed I had a gun on, because 90%+ of the public doesn't look at the people around them. They didn't say, hey, gee, here's a guy with a pair of Gucci's, here's a guy with a tweed jacket, and here's a guy with a Smith & Wesson worn openly on his hip.
That's right.
That said, I would like to see every state allow open carry for two very solid reasons. First, there are jurisdictions where if the wind catches your coat and the gun becomes exposed and some nervous Nelly starts screaming, oh my God, call 911, I'm calling the radio station, this is horrible, there are people with guns. I've seen cases where, people were charged with, going armed to the terror of the public. There are actually states where they have that wording in the statutes. And I've seen people lose their carry permits over that. If you have open carry legal, that's not a concern. A greater concern of mine is so many people who find themselves becoming stalking victims, harassment victims. All of a sudden, they go from, gee, I didn't need a gun, to, oh my God, someone actually wants to kill me, and this is serious. And now they've got to wait 90 days to get their concealed carry permit, perhaps longer in the current environment when so many people are applying and overstressing the system that processes the applications. So for both those reasons, I believe that open carry should be legal in every state in America. That said, when you do the in-your-face, we're here, we're queer, we're here to stay, that's fine. But you know what? The gay rights movement is not part of my thing, but it's a striking parallel to what we do, the gun owners' rights movement. In both cases, we're looking at closeted minorities who are feared and hated by people who do not begin to understand them. Looking at it from the outside, I can see why a heterosexual gun guy would say, look, they marched in the streets, they said, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, and that's how they got better rights, and we must follow that. What they're missing is what strikes me was a far better tactic and a far more effective tactic in the gay rights movement was the billboards that said, we are your sons and your daughters and your brothers, and your sisters, and your neighbors. And that, I truly believe, Mark, is the message that we gun owners have to get across to the public. You and I have both fought against the newspapers that want to out us, continuing the analogy, and run the list, including, in some places, the street addresses of the people who have concealed carry permits.
Oh, welcome to the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mossad, and the Roanoke Times tried to do it, and I began a little movement against them, and we hammered them.
Back to the future, young brother. I was fighting that fight with my brothers in New Hampshire in the late 1970s when the Concord Monitor and the Foster's Daily Democrat newspaper in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, considered it their duty to every year run that list with the street addresses and literally publish a shopping list for gun burglars. And when we said, why in God's name are you doing this? They said, we feel the public has a right to know who walks among them with the power to slay them. We went into the New Hampshire State Legislature, and by God, we passed the law that made that a need-to-know issue, and we stopped that. We proved that every time they published that, there would be a wave of burglaries where people's guns were stolen and literally were targeted because of that listing. But I digress. What I'm trying to say here, if we sit here and scare people, if we use the Black Panther tactics of the 1970s, marching in the streets, carrying guns in California, that did not win any converts to the civil rights movement. What that did was frighten the public. There are some of us here listening to this, at least one of us here speaking on this, who can remember when in California and Massachusetts there were referendums put on the voters' ballot. Shall we ban handguns in this state? We beat it in Massachusetts. We beat it in California. It's going to come back with the current administration after the midterm elections and particularly after the next presidential election. We're going to see that stuff coming back. There are a lot of young folks today who don't have that institutional memory. And the other point where I respectfully disagree with Tom, I'm not talking about us not offending the antis. We will never do this. They are literally our sworn enemies, culturally and politically. What I'm looking at is that vast number of people in the middle, the people who sit on the fence, the people who in California when the referendum came up, who in Massachusetts when the referendum came up, said, you know what, just looking at this as a logical person who does not have a dog in the fight, I would kind of like to somewhere down the road at least preserve the option of buying a handgun if I chose to, of even carrying a handgun if I chose to. Those, the what used to be called the silent majority in another context, those are the ones that I'm concerned about. And when we march in front of them, flaunting the power to kill, we look like a bunch of bullies trying to threaten and intimidate them.
And Assad,
for that reason, I'm not a big fan of open carry marches and all of that. You want to do open carry picnics? That's fine. And some groups have had good success with that.
Just had a big one up in Wisconsin, Massad.
They did. And look at what they did. They announced beforehand, we're going to do it. They announced beforehand, you reporters, you ordinary folks, come and visit us, and you'll see we're the ordinary kind of people who live next door.
440-some people.
We're queer, and we're in your face. They're saying, we're your brothers, we're your sisters, we're your sons, we're your daughters and your neighbors. And what I'm trying to say, Mark, is that is the effective strategy here.
Beautiful. We'll be right back after this break, everybody.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today, at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
I know that song well. That's the ringtone on my phone, guys.
I was going to ask you who chooses the music for those.
Well, you can chalk that up to Sean, but that is actually the ringtone on my phone, and you ought to see the looks it gets in airports and stuff. It's a riot. John, I want to ask your opinion on this, and then I want to tell both of you guys what happened to me at a local jewelry store a couple days ago. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Masada, I know for sure that you will. John, I want to give you the other email that I got on the flip side.
Okay.
And I guess I should tell everybody, first off, that my opinion was that just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Now, I Arizona is my favorite state in the country. I've said it a million times on this program, and I will. And I open carry from time to time. There are times I choose not to open carry. I personally would not have chosen to open carry at that event. The thing that that was different about the analogy, and Masad, you covered it, just exceptionally well. But the difference here is the militant gay movement had a friendly press corps. The press corps is not friendly to us. And that's where I think the difference lies there, okay? We are fighting an uphill battle with the media. That's why shows like this are so important, because we talk the truth and they don't. It's that simple. They lie. You lie. Yeah. But John, listen to this second letter here. I'm writing in regard to the quote from the Freedom States Alliance, "We will forcefully resist people imposing their will on us through the strength of the majority with a vote." I want to preface this, that I read something from the Freedom States Alliance, the enemy camp that I get in my email box about every week. I just got one this week. I didn't have time to go into it on this broadcast. But what they said after that quote was, you read that right, they're threatening to use force and violence against the President of the United States. Now, let me reread that quote, knowing what they said about it. "We will forcefully resist people imposing their will on us through the strength of the majority with a vote." Now, I don't read it that way, but here's the rest of this gentleman's letter. "First off, you need to know that I am pro-Second Amendment, have a CPL, and do carry regularly. That said, we do need to watch what other pro-Second Amendment people are saying, and unfortunately, I believe that those guys open carrying at this event while totally in the right, didn't necessarily do us any favors that day. If you analyze the quote as written, it does indeed say that we, and then in parentheses, the people with the guns, will resist those who impose their will on us by voting, and then in parentheses, their will upon us. I think what they're trying to illustrate is that our country is structured as a constitutionally limited republic where individual rights are protected from the will of the masses, even if they vote it so. If, on the other hand, you add a comma before with a vote, then it means something completely different. It now means what you say, that we will forcefully resist people by voting, which is how I read that quote, guys. Basically, I think they're saying that per the instructions in the Declaration of Independence, they're ready to take arms to defend their rights. I agree in principle with what they're saying, but I'm not sure that saying those types of things to the media are the right way to go, and it may precipitate more negativity toward our cause. Stay safe. And that is from Andy. John, thoughts?
Well, I think you walk a very fine line, and this isn't the first time we've talked about a sentence that has a comma in it and possibly not the most appropriate place. But
oh, which one would you be referring to?
Oh, that little thing called the Second Amendment.
That's where I thought you were going.
But I think I agree a lot, actually, with what Mass said. I do think that the messenger is as important as the message, and it would be great if we lived in a country where everybody just accepted the fact that there is a Second Amendment. It means what it says, and it doesn't have to be interpreted by lawyers to tell us what the Founding Fathers actually meant. That would be great, but the reality is that some people do get upset when they see firearms, and the question becomes, am I doing more harm than good by exercising my Second Amendment open carry rights? I do think that the crux of this whole issue is about educating people, and it doesn't have to be anything big and formal or elaborate. I've had a lot of good success over the years just talking with coworkers and friends and neighbors and people who know what kind of a person I am, and then just gradually introducing the idea that I own firearms. And I've never really had a negative reaction to that. But I can see if I got on a bus carrying an AR-15 that some people... Hey, I mean, put yourself in anybody else's position. You're sitting on a bus and a guy walks onto the bus carrying a rifle. Now, what's the first thing that for any of us would pop into our minds before we started thinking about the constitutionality of that?
Well, you know, John, this is where it tears me a little bit, and Mass. I have open carried. I do open carry. I open carry whenever I'm in Arizona. I did mention on the broadcast when we were talking about this that, you know, there are times I don't in the city in Phoenix. That's my decision. That's and I'm not using that as a, you know, politically correct thing. That's my decision not to carry in certain areas of the city. Now, I agree with Thomas, and I think Massad did in a way, too, when he said you will never change the anti's minds, period. It's not going to happen. You're not. It's like, you know, trying to tell, you know, Rahm Emanuel that Obama stinks. It isn't going to happen, all right? So I'm not real concerned about who I offend when I open carry when I'm in Arizona. I could care less. That's not what I'm trying to do. But when you go to a media-driven event, that's what I was referring to as it being my own choice. That was my choice. You know, and Thomas, man, carry on. And those guys out there, that's their right. I just simply said I wouldn't have chosen to do it. And, you know, we're all on the same team. We've made incredible strides over the last 20 years, Massad, as you well know, having been such an integral part of it.
Basically, what we've got to look at is the visible firearm is a show of force. Consider those words, a show of force. In law enforcement, from the Attorney General's office of your state on down, we'll be told that levels of force begin at level one, which is the presence of the uniformed and visibly armed officer. The gun is probably more than the badge and the uniform, the visual embodiment of that authority. When you look at the open carried weapon, you're seeing a statement. If it's a uniformed police officer, it's a statement that says the state is here to protect you, the state is here to enforce the law. When you see that visual embodiment on someone who is not visibly identified as to their function, their job, their allegiance, it tends to frighten the horses, as they said in the 19th century. The average lay person does not see an exposed firearm unless it's accompanied by the badge, by the uniform. They've been conditioned by the mainstream media to believe that the only people with guns are cops, soldiers, and bad guys. And if you're not visibly identifiable as one of the first two, you tend to be automatically assumed to be one of the third. It does not do our cause any good to wear the gun and say, I have the power to kill anything in my line of sight just because I can. It frightens me to hear some of the open carry advocates saying that, well, when people ask you, why are you carrying that gun? What's your answer? They say, because I can. We know what they mean. We know they're expressing a Second Amendment right. They're, you know, the whole nine yards there. What they hear from the collective human experience is because I can tends to be the explanation of the bully. Any battered woman, any cop who's responded to domestic abuse, any parent, for God's sake, can tell you when you talk to the kid who was bullying another kid and you say, why did you beat up that little second grader? He says, because I can. I've arrested men for beating their wives. I said, for Christ's sake, why did you do that? He said, because I can. And now they see us with a gun, they're alarmed, and they ask, why are you carrying that gun? And we say, because I can. We fit the profile. If you're going to carry the damn gun as a political statement, wear a T-shirt that says, I'm a member of the Virginia Defense League. Wear the T-shirt that says, open carry, it is your right. Do like VCDL does in Virginia under Phil Van Cleave and encourage your people who are doing that to carry the little cards that they can hand out to people who ask and explain, did you know you're allowed to do this? You know, we're just trying to raise folks' consciousness that, yeah, you can protect yourself. It's okay. It's allowed in this country. Welcome to America. We're still free, independent people.
And that's, you know, right. What, Mossad? It does work, John. It works. And you know, hey, to each his own. You know, like I said, we're all on the same team here, and that's an argument we could have for hours. I want to tell you guys real quick what happened to me. I took a piece of jewelry into a jewelry store to get repaired over the weekend, and when I went to pick it up, I had to wait a couple minutes, and I got into a conversation with, I'm assuming, what was the owner of the store, and he asked me what I did, and we talked about the radio program, and he said, well, I'm from Canada. We don't believe in guns in Canada. And I said, why? There are a lot of Canadians who wish they had their gun rights back. And he said, well, you know, he said, guns make people do bad things. And at the risk of getting into a pretty vicious argument, I said, you know, a piece of steel doesn't make people do bad things. People do bad things. And that's, you know, we had a really good conversation. He was a really nice guy. And like Mossad just said, I didn't change anybody's minds. I didn't change his mind. And I was never going to. John, thank you very much for joining us on Armed American Radio. Mossad, it is always a pleasure to have you on the air. We welcome you back at any time. Ladies and gentlemen, join me next week on Armed American Radio, 2-hour, Mr. Gabe Suarez, internationally recognized and one of the world's foremost experts in force on force, and Mr. Skip Coriel. See you next week, everybody, right here on Armed American Radio.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.